This is Mae Brussel. This is side two of broadcast number 703, World Watchers International, May the 27th, 1985. I want to start in the middle of this report done on Mr. Adderholt and World Medical Relief, and then go back to the other part later because I want to make some of these connections for you this evening and not leave it dangling. And then later I can explain what came before it. That would be a lot easier. Usually I take it in the other order, and then some other news comes and lops off some of the material that I didn't want to get on right away. Now, in the magazine Covert Action, winter of 83, the ties between the CIA and charities, it was printed in the Cleveland Plain Dealer. There was a six-part series written by Walter Bogdanich, B-O-G-D-A-N-I-C-H, Christopher Jensen, and Joe Frolick, F-R-O-L-I-K. And it was reprinted in Covert Action, and I'll give you the gist of the article. It said there's an organization in Detroit called the World Medical Relief Association. I think of Helene Von Damm, who came to the United States through the AMA to Detroit and then Chicago, linked with the medical association. This is the World Relief Medical. I don't know if she is linked to that one, but she came in through the AMA and was latched onto them right away. Our ambassador to Austria and a secretary for Ronald Reagan for 8 years in California, who worked for Otto von Bolschwing, Adolf Eichmann's superior, von Bolschwing having headquarters here and traveling all over the world. Okay, World Medical Relief offices in Detroit. It's a tax-exempt charity. They get their money back, so everything is, we pay for it. They write it off. They work with the CIA. They were involved in the secret war in Laos in 1960s or 70s, and they're dedicated to the service of God's sick and poor. Ronald Reagan honored Mrs. Irene Oberlin, O-B-E-R-L-I-N, May the 7th, 1984, just a year ago. She got her honors, and I'll do more about General Wiedemeyer. He got his honors this week. Mr. Wiedemeyer, who was trained with Adolf Hitler's army, along with Charles Willoughby, until our war broke out against Germany. They came home and back into the American army from Adolf Hitler's army, and he also honored Whitaker Chambers, who worked with Senator Joe McCarthy and the whole group that were behind the files and the computers of Western goals. So Ronald Reagan is continuously honoring these people with his known Nazi network, in case you haven't yet figured out who Ronald Reagan is. Irene Oberlin was honored. She and her husband began this in 1953. In 29 years, they had spent $400 million under the guise or use of drugs, food, and medical supplies. And one of the things that caught my eye to going back to this article, or someone called attention to it, was when the Congress doesn't want to give money to Central America or the dictatorships. Then in comes J. Peter Graves and Prescott Bush and Alexander Haig and the Knights of Malta, and they said, well, we'll fund them, clear loose, we'll give them money. And one of the distributors of what they call humanitarian medical aid and supplies is this World Medical Group in Detroit. They started in Detroit, World Medical Relief. But they have ties to the United States government. This just isn't medical relief. And according to Covert Action, one of the strongest ties is with Harry C. Heine Adderholt, H-E-I-N-I-E-A-D-E-R-H-O-L-T. He's retired Brigadier General of the Air Force, and it's Mr. Adderholt that I've been talking about the last weeks, the last couple months, being in the Pentagon with John Singlaub and with our military advisors, planning how this Freikorps, this secret army, would take over and continue their activities no matter what the kind-hearted people in the United States think they would manage to do that. A partner with Mr. Adderholt in Southeast Asia was Daniel C. Arnold, retired CIA station chief in Thailand and Laos. Their charity was important in Laos, and as far as the CIA was concerned, according to this article, they secretly equipped, trained, and helped supply their own army of 30,000 Laotian irregulars. Now, Mr. Adderholt is on the board of Soldier of Fortune, and Gung Ho and Soldier of Fortune and the Mercenary Weapon Survivalist magazines are creating an army in the United States of their own that is way over 30,000 of their own private army. And what I said happened in Southeast Asia is what is going to happen in the United States. Now, one of the men who distributed their money for them was an Edgar Buell. His nickname was Mr. Pop Buell. He got the money from World Medical Relief and sent it to the male soldiers in Laos, the Hmong, H-M-O-N-G, the soldiers in Laos. Remember, after Jonestown, when I did the tapes on the guys from the boys from Guyana, thinking there must be a Joseph Mengele connection to this, Joseph and the medical experimental and the drugs and so forth. I wonder if the medical supplies came from this particular group, because Mark Lane was the attorney for Jim Jones and lauded their medical hospital on radio just a few weeks before all over 900 deaths, saying that people came from all of South America to this wonderful hospital down there and they had enough drugs to drug a community of 10,000 people. And there were medical experiments down there in Jonestown. And Mark Lane is the attorney for Liberty Lobby for Willie Cardo and has been for a long time. His picture is in almost every issue. And the allegations are that Cardo is funding Mengele. So round and around, the revolving door goes with the same people that go in, come out. And when they meet inside, they're with the same people going out. So there's a lot of questions about the experiments in Jonestown, the drugs, that Dr. Schacht, who was down there. But Mr. Buell was the administrator for a lot of this money, and his title was U.S. Agency for International Development. But I didn't know when I read that, and I just learned this week of his role in the State Department, which is very important. Now, in that covert action, Winter of 83, volume 18, on page 48, they describe Mr. Buell. They said, Pop Buell, the U.S. official through whom Aderholt funneled World Medical Relief supplies, played a major role down there with the Laos tribesmen, according to government officials and published accounts. A man named Don A. Sanche, I have to get the book now, S-C-H-A-N-C-H-E. If any of you in the New York area or near major bookstores, used bookstores, can find it, get it for me and I'll pay you back. We have to do a search. Don A. Sanche did a book called Mr. Pop, and it's about Mr. Buell and his work for the AID, and he became a one-man supply corps for the CIA secret army and led the guerrilla army that held off the North Vietnamese. Now, Sanche, according to Covert Action 2 years ago, was an international correspondent working for the Los Angeles Times who visited Buell on many occasions in Laos, and the book did not identify any of Buell's private sources where he was getting it, but it came out of Detroit. In addition to Southeast Asia, and this is the part that interests me about Buell, in addition to that, the U.S. military also had a hand in distributing world medical relief supplies in Central and South America. Now, when you get to South America, I instantly thought that Joseph Mengele, I knew, had a medical clinic in Paraguay, and he was doing medical experimentations on Uruguay. And in order to keep what he was doing, or the sterilization of the Indians there, secret until all of them would be wiped out and maybe throw a few diseases around, but continue the experiments he was doing down there. The medical supplies came from somewhere, and Mr. Buell was also distributing in South America. Now, what I learned this week was that Mr. Buell does, in fact, work with his nephew, that he works in the State Department and with the CIA, and if, in fact, they're working with Fritz Kramer, the only part missing now is if that Nazi Kramer, Hitler's Kramer, is the American Kramer, because the full cycle of Klaus Barbie, Martin Bormann, and Joseph Mengele all comes together very nicely in our State Department. The World Anti-Communist League members have bragged, and we've done this before, on helping Joseph Mengele in Paraguay to hide him and so forth. Now, I did a chart of some of the implications and connections of these various people. I've been charting them out lately just based on some articles on the use of the soldiers of fortune, the mercenary, the retired generals to carry on their own covert actions with the Defense Intelligence Agency, the CIA, and the government. The point being, you might say, well, why is that so bad? They're fighting Castro down in Central America, and you have to use whatever techniques you have to use. But the point being is that they're using Nazis from Germany to teach them to torture, to burn alive, to quarter people, to gouge out eyes, to kill priests, to gun down people, and to control the courts. And that bloody thing that is happening there over and over to the Indians in Guatemala, to the rebels in El Salvador, to the Sandinistas in Nicaragua, that team is very Americanized, and they are active in America and linked directly to Lieutenant Colonel Gale, who worked in the South Pacific with them, and to the Aryan Nations and the computers across the country and the weapons stockpiled for making America like Vietnam. They brag that they want to do it. So that in the State Department are these seeds that either we get out now or never, or we get them out by demanding these things to be exposed more and more and forcing them out, because no journalist of anyone who's well known that I've contacted won't touch it. I'm the only one that is carrying this thing really alone and pushing it right into the lap of the New York Times now, where in Newsweek it'll put a little bit of a piece, but not the whole story, whether or not Joseph Mengele was a naturalized American citizen. But I made a chart of this article, a couple of articles that I have here, to show you some connecting links that maybe would make it a little clearer, putting some of these events together. Now, the Air Commando Association, the military, the U.S. Air Force, the military personnel all work with Heini Atterholt as the head. And he works, he's on the board of the magazine Soldier of Fortune, and he works in the Pentagon. And underneath that diagram, I did little blocks. They work with Refugee Relief International, and that's part of Soldier of Fortune, with Dr. Jay Peters and Tom Reisinger, R-E-I-S-I-N-G-E-R. And these people work with the World Anti-Communist League that members brag about hiding Joseph Mengele. And Sing Laup is the head of 8 organizations, one of which Lieutenant General Daniel Graham is vice president of, that I referred to 2 weeks ago or last week on the air. The World Medical Relief Association is CIA and goes with Mr. Buell from the State Department, not only Southeast Asia, but South America and Central America. Now, a Soldier of Fortune convention, they have one every year, and they print it in their magazine. This was printed in February 83 and also in October 83. There were a few people of interest at their conventions. One, of course, was John Sing Laub, with his connections to the Western goals, to Edward Teller, the hydrogen bombs, the Star Wars, to Mr. Milliken, and J. Peter Grace, and John Rees, and that branch of the military industrial, and then into the police departments, because Daniel Graham is close to John Rees of Western Goals, and Ed Davis, formerly the Los Angeles Police Department, is a West Coast representative for Daniel Graham of Star Wars. So John Sing Laub was at that convention with some of these connections. Also there was G. Gordon Liddy. Liddy, who bragged about being a Nazi, who worked with Robert Mardian at the time of Watergate, watching Nazi movies. Mardian's office just represented the fellow from Vietnam that shot the professor in Los Angeles. He only got 3 years for that murder. The death squads in the United States still going on with the protection of this group. Nazi links to the Odessa, E. Howard Hunt and Frank Sturgis. G. Gordon Liddy worked with that team of Watergate and Frank Sturgis and the members of the Bay of Pigs. And Frank Sturgis worked with Lee Harvey Oswald. Frank Fiorina, he was known as, and I did, my Watergate story was on the murder of John Kennedy, of E. Howard Hunt and G. Gordon Liddy, and the teams going back to the Nazi connections to Reinhard Gehlen. And after all these years and a lot of time, I think you can be able to see, maybe if you're new listeners, you can't follow these names, but if you're old ones, you can see these connections. Now, also at that convention was Heini Atterholt, of course, very important to the medical relief and the private armies, and General Westmoreland, another one. General Westmoreland is a fellow that Richard Mellon Scaife gave $3 million to prosecute CBS. I mentioned that last week on broadcast 701, and I questioned if the Mellon money went into Korea and back to form that newspaper, The Washington Times, that was described this week as the newspaper that the White House reads. This is their official organ. I told you it was, with the pictures of John Singlaub and Michael Ledeen and all the warriors pushing Jean Kirkpatrick. They can make her a saint. I'm looking for the article here ahead on, is the Washington Times the organ for the White House where they're getting their news? You better believe it is. Oh, here it is from the New York Daily News and reprinted in the Oregonian and sent to me by a friend in Oregon. Mooney paper is the administration's voice in the Capitol. And how the minute the Congress said you can't have 14 million because of the tortures and the murders going on, then the Washington Times coughs up $14 million to aid the Contras with the aid of Jean Kirkpatrick and William Simon of the Knights of Malta, the joining in with Mr. DeBorsch Grave, who's running the ad for Joseph Mengele that we talk about. This is the organ of the White House working with the Unification Church and Reverend Moon, the people that have worked with and protected the Nazis and the Nazis in the Argentine junta and so forth, who are representing the voice of the White House at this time. Mr. Westmoreland had a suit against CBS that was paid by Richard Mellon-Scaife, and I asked that question. Did the Mellons put the money? They put $300 million into South Korea and a few more million into Bolivia when Klaus Barbie was living there. And did that money go to start the newspaper that this White House would have for its own voice in Washington, D.C., when they bought the Washington Star? Now, William Westmoreland was quoted once as saying that Vietnam was a limited war. It wasn't meant to win. And if you lose, the point about this is that when you lose one more, you gain a lot of soldiers and special forces and commando forces and Waffen-SS, the disenchanted, the people that have minimal education and lots of guts and a lot of anger and frustration. The strong part about the Free Corps and rearming Germany was that the Versailles Treaty was too harsh. If you had a fair treaty, then you wouldn't have that illegal rearmament. And I think the purpose, and I believe for a long time and stated it, the purpose of the Vietnam War was to have a deadline. In fact, John Judge has mentioned before, and I've quoted him, where his mother worked in the Pentagon. They had a set date to start the war and a set date to stop it and X amount that would die before they stopped it. And Westmoreland, with his close links to the Richard Mellon-Scaife that put $3 million into this suit against CBS, also stated that it was a limited war that was not meant to win. And that would be the natural, if you're a gardener, the fertilization of the impetus for the Fourth Reich War, which is the SEALs, the Rangers, the Vietnam veterans who want to go back and avenge their buddies and win the next one being the big one, and killing the small people along the way. Now, the boss for Westmoreland in the Southeast Asian War, I mentioned before, was Fritz Kramer, and also working with Mr. Aderholt and Mr. Singlaub, along with Mr. Buell, Edgar Buell, comes the name Kramer, who's in the memos that go from his nephew to him in Washington. The name Kramer is in there. So Kramer is a big part of this secret team, and if this Kramer is Adolf Hitler's Kramer, then Germany has, in fact, with Reinhard Gehlen, been running our country since, 1943, when Alan Dulles and Mr. William Donovan and the OSS worked with SS Karl Wolff, a very important one, and with Chase Manhattan Bank and the various banks that are described in the book Trading with the Enemy, getting ready for accumulating the power and the muscle for the next war. Now, this president is geared for it. He is increasing the special forces. The numbers of them are tremendous, and they've never been so large, and preparing these little small wars, just as Hitler did as he had his blitzkrieg through these various countries. In the congressional committee meeting hearings set up, this was volume 8, number 2 and 3 of Soldier of Fortune, reprinted February and March of 83. Representative Robert Dornan, you know him, the arch conservative, went down to Central America, and he went with Andy Messing, M-E-S-S-I-N-G, a member of the American Security Council, and there's a picture of him in Soldier of Fortune in the 1983 one, volume 8, number 2, 3, with a submachine gun and pistol. Major John Singlaub, a U.S. SEAL advisor, was with them, helping out with the SEALs. Representative Dorn had a congressional delegation headed to meet down there with members formerly of Vietnam of the MACV, the initials are MACVSOG. That was the group in Vietnam that worked together. And Messing was in Vietnam. He was a major in the reserves there. And in El Salvador, Singlaub was meeting with Roberto Dobison, D-A-U-B-B-I-S-O-N. Now, this past week, 2 years later, George Shultz was accusing members of Congress of being un-American to go down there and talk to people in Nicaragua to find out what was going on. But you don't hear George Shultz objecting to a meeting set up by Representative Dornan with Jim Morris, writing an article in Soldiers of Fortune on El Salvador, and Andy Messing of the American Security Council, and John Singlaub, a retired general that Jimmy Carter removed from office for insubordination in Korea. You don't see George Shultz complaining that Congressman Dornan is down there with Roberto Dobison. Dobison, who was honored at a dinner this last year by Western Gold and the right-wing organizations in Washington, D.C., even though he's directly linked to the murder of the Archbishop Romero down in El Salvador. So they can go down there and have their meetings. And another Central American tour was arranged from the El Salvadorian trip to Guatemala to be with Rias Montt, M-O-N-T-T, a fellow trained in Ukiah, California, the hometown of Jim Jones, not the hometown, but where they both trained. And Soldier of Fortune in June 83 describes Robert Brown, who's the editor of the magazine, and Craig Nunn, the associate editor, and John Metzger, the military affairs editor, and Alex McCall, M-C, small c, C-O-L-L, the explosive editor, John Donovan of the demolitions, and John Peters, the paramedic operations editor, all did a tour down to El Salvador and Guatemala, and they were convinced that Rias Montt, the president's civic actions, were making progress. This is the group, he's out of office, and they still killed 10,000 Indians, decimating them just as Joseph Mengele has been doing in Paraguay with the male Indian population and sterilization, I understand. So Soldier of Fortune, all of these people go to visit El Salvador, and their purpose, in quotes, is to help medical maintenance and to instruct the Salvador Army. They have a dual purpose here, that they're going to do these two. Now, Soldier of Fortune in 1981 has a reference to a medical maintenance team. Now, the Americares that came out in 1984 that involved J. Peter Grace had Roger Milliken, has connections directly to John Reese, Western Gold, John Singlaub, the Vatican, the Knights of Balda, and the brother of the President of the United States, Prescott Bush. So that they make teams that go down, members of Congress, members of these military magazines, former military advisors working with the direct military dictators, not the democracies, the Dobison, the Rias Montt. That is the point, that these are mean people. They're not nice people. I'm not talking about averting a democracy down there because I'm pro-Castro or anything like that. I'm talking about some really mean people and what they're doing down there. Now, another part of Soldier of Fortune, in August of 84, describes the Refugee Relief International. It says they worked with and profited, giving medical aid to El Salvador, and refers to the medical operations contributing editor, Dr. John Peters, and Tom Reisiger, I mentioned them before, of the Special Projects Assistant. And these men formed what they call the Refugee Relief International. They go to El Salvador, Cambodia, Laos, Pakistan, and they have an agreement with the Air Commando Association, to provide this relief for them. And the Air Commando Association was founded in 1968, Fort Walden Beach, W-A-L-D-O-N, Beach in Florida, U.S. Air Force military personnel. They've been in special warfare capacity, and the current head of the Air Commando Association is that Harry C. Aderholt. So for a long time, Aderholt and Singlaub and this team have been working at different levels with the United States government in military operations that were never voted by Congress, with institutions such as Western Goals or these AmeriCares and these various foundations with 100 different dummy front names, And they are working with private money, government money. They work in the Pentagon, and they take members of Congress. And as I say, when they go down, it's all right. When other congressmen want to go and find out what's going down, they're criticized for it as interfering with the policies of the White House. Now, Mr. Adderholt is described in Soldier of Fortune and by people who have done research with him as a retired brigadier general. He is, I say, a contributing editor in unconventional operations. You better believe they're unconventional. He spent 33 years in the Air Force. He's involved in support operations of the special operations North and South Vietnam and worked directly under John Singlaub. And February 1983, the Soldier of Fortune, as I say, had an article about the convention where Adderholt, G. Gordon Liddy, and this then goes into the connections of Liddy have been available for a lot of people at the conventions of Soldier of Fortune, and also another one from the John Kennedy assassination, Gordon Novell, actively participates with these people and goes to their conventions. Liddy, whose name first surfaced at the time of Watergate, in the FBI, in the Treasury Department, working with them, with this team in Westmoreland. So they have their conventions, and they meet, and they use the humanitarian medical. That's the guys, the humanitarian and medical, while all these terrible atrocities are taking place. Can you imagine if you actually gave $300 million in medical care to these countries, what they would be like? Now, just to finish out this program, because I'll be doing a lot more on it for a long time to come, I just wanted to give a few sentences about a man who was told to shut up for 1 year, the Reverend Leonardo Boff, B-O-F-F. The Vatican called him in, and they told him that he was not to open his mouth in Brazil for 1 year. And a friend sent me some quotations of his from the Latin American press. I hope I have time. I'll read it very quickly. This was a speech of Boff's recently dated. The article's dated May the 2nd, 1985, just before he was called to Rome, where this pope, literally the headline says, Pope tells Boff to shut up. This is what he said. My God is certainly not the God so many used to justify the world's division into rich or poor or to defend the established order. That division is precisely why the whole problem of liberation has arisen. In the theology of liberation, we struggle for the emergence of the true God, the God of Pinochet, who does not stop him from repressing and killing, or the God of Reagan, who permits him to so facilely decide to build apocalyptic weapons that can destroy all humanity, is not the God of Archbishop Romero of El Salvador, who was murdered for the sake of his people, or Bishop Pedro Calza Daliglia, C-A-S-A-L-D-A-L-I-G-A, of Brazil, who continually risks his life in the infernos of the Amazon to defend the dignity of its inhabitants. I hope each person can arrive at that minimum level of utopia, which allows him or her to eat at least once each day. There are 40 million people who die of hunger every year. In my country, 300 of every 1,000 children die before they are 3 months old. To be able to eat is to guarantee God's most important gift to us, which is life itself, and after the gift of life, we must work to assure that all those other gifts can be appreciated in their fullness, including that of worshiping God out of tenderness rather than out of fear. The means to bring this about exist. They exist in this world, he said. It depends only on the will of those who are satiated, who even spend money to lose weight because they have eaten too much. I do not want to die or witness a nuclear holocaust before first having experienced women liberated as persons and all humanity seated around the table as brothers and sisters sharing the fruit of their collective labor in anticipation of that banquet God desires for all of us for all time. I wanted to get that on the air and share it with you and thank the woman who sent this to me. A Latin American press comes out weekly, and she sends me articles on human rights. And this is the man who doesn't want the God of Reagan and Pinochet, who wants the chance for people to live in freedom. And I suppose that expression of the ribbon that's going to take place in Washington, I feel close to it because I say I identified with it and spent many, many, many hours on it, is an expression of love, saying in our own needlework, in our own way, why do we have Pinochet? Why do we have Reagan? Why do we have murders? Why is this happening? And just as the mothers said down in Argentina, it has to stop. Even if it starts with five women, it will spread around the world. It's up to all of us to see that these things stop and don't keep going on. They get worse all the time. Put the brakes on this thing. Take a wheel out of their car. Make them work with three wheels, two wheels, one, until they can't work, and keep working, because it has to come to an end. Otherwise, this country, as I say, will look like Vietnam and the Central America. And why should they look like that anyway? It's our weapons that are doing it. It's our people, our government. So let's get on with it and pull those people to task and put them to court. This is Mae Bressel. I'll be back with you next week. Take care, and look for the ribbon in August. As I say, I won't mention it much between now and then, but it's on its way to being tied together, and we'll try to wrap up Washington, D.C. Goodbye, and I'll be back with you next week.